Let's talk about what every Democrat
Wait, where are you right now?
Where do you think I am? Another place
in the
hotel,
in some place. Where in America are you today?
I am in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania today. Ooh. I have a speech this evening I am giving to the City of Pittsburgh Republican Committee.
Okay, that sounds official.
And I'm also doing the recording of their podcast with them as a special guest.
Whoa.
Uh-huh.
Do you get a key to
tomorrow,
the city for this?
Yeah, I hope. I wish. Yeah. And then tomorrow we're going to drive up to Rochester for the weekend to see my family. So.
All right. This is good East Coast Ra-cha-cha love. I love it.
And what do you know? Kurt's in the same spot. I thought I was going to have to do this from the car for a little bit. I was like, listen, we're just going to have to go for it.
We could rename this podcast On the Road with Aaron.
Yeah. Where in the world is Aaron McGuire? It's going to be me. This is our show now. Me on the hunt for Tom Keene. I'm going
has
to
anyone
become
seen this
the
guy
in San Diego. Of
he's
trying
got a primary
to find
challenge.
Tom Keene.
He's got an opponent now, but we still haven't heard from Mr. Keene in a minute.
Tom Keene, still MIA. Know it. He's coming back. Apparently, he has spoken to the speaker, but.
Yes. Yeah, the speaker said he knows what the health issue is, but he won't share it with the rest of us yet.
I mean, to be fair, the speaker really shouldn't share that information, right? If it, like.
But I think his constituents would like to know.
I mean, at this point, where in the world is Tom Keene? I need like the Carmen Sandiego graphic with
yes.
him like in the red trench coat. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I used to love that back in the day.
It's such great. I would sing the song, but.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Carmen Sandiego.
Catchy.
Real quick, did you ever know of Vanilla Ice's second rap song that was
the
famous?
Ninja Turtle one?
Yes! Thank you! Thank you. I was just talking to my coworkers about this. I was like, what are you talking about? Vanilla Ice had two hits. Don't get it wrong.
Ninja
and they're like, what's
rap.
The other? Ninja Rap. Thank you. Okay, see? Thank you. I thought I was just this pop culture weirdo. Same vibe, Kurt.
It's from
got
Teenage
it
Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, Vanilla
and
Ice.
And it's when they were all life-size Ninja Turtles. When they were
hey, it's the green machine trying to something this town without being seen.
God. All right. Awesome poll there. But let's talk about what Democrats do want to talk about right before the midterms.
Our favorite topic
is Joe
Affordability.
Biden's book is
it.
Coming out in September. And how do we know this? Because sweet little our Dr. Jilly Bean is on the road on her book tour and brought old Sleepy Joe with her, dusting him off, brought him and he got the mic on the floor. He wasn't even up on stage with her from the floor. He was telling people that he's going to be putting out a book in September. My first
coming
question
soon.
For you, Kurt, is what are you looking forward to the most about a month and a half before Election Day talking about Joe Biden again?
You know, some might say we should be talking about things like affordability or the culture of corruption or, you know, Democrats' strong fundraising that will happen in the fall. But instead, for at least a week, we are going to use that valuable real estate to talk about Joe Biden's presidency and relitigate all the wonderful things that happened along the way.
Do you think he's going to come up with a story? Do you think this book is the cover up for the stroke comment that Jill made? Now he wrote an entire book just to cover up for the fact that he might have had
a
stroke and Jill left him to die. Like, do you think this book explains the mystery stroke that Jill mentioned? Like, what do we
think? I think it better have some answers. About all of those things. I got to tell you, the level of for a family that for a very long time, their brand was public service, putting the needs of the many ahead of the needs of the few.
Well, also Amtrak Joe, it was very approachable.
Blue collar, approachable. Yeah. Like the idea that you would detonate in the midterm messaging wars that we're going to be in, that you would insert yourself needlessly with zero political value for your party, your own memoir story about why you got ran out of the presidency.
Isn't that the most fitting Joe Biden thing you've ever heard of, though, in your entire life? It's like something nobody asked for and doesn't want you to do. You're going to do it. And then we're going to find out the same thing, which is
Democrats,
you shouldn't have done it.
Democrats, somebody needs to call somebody who knows somebody in publishing and get this book delayed until if it comes out the day after the election, I don't give a shit. That's fine.
No, I'm excited. Democrats should use it for fundraising. Buy those books up. Rocket that bad boy to the top of the list and hand them out. Hand them out. Everybody
hand
should
them out.
Them.
autographed Joe Biden book on the stump. I'm mean, for
well,
every,
listen,
let me
that auto pen's gonna get a warm up, huh?
Okay.
Between signing the books or writing them. Come on, that was too good. Oh, come on, that was too good a joke to leave on the field,
Aaron,
like that. He's writing a book, and the man used the auto pen all
the
time.
Person,
that's hilarious.
Were you
never
the one that decided to like reach out to the Biden team? Like, I have a brilliant idea for you. Like, I feel this has your fingerprint.
I'm a Democrat strategist. Listen to me. I have a brilliant idea. Yes, that's exactly what happened. Jedi mind tricked the Biden.
I mean, I will say this. I'd rather talk about Joe Biden than about, like, whatever revelations come out about Graham Plattner between now and then. So, you know.
I mean,
we might need
that,
a distraction.
The hits
we might need
keep coming and they don't stop coming. Am I right on Graham Plattner? I feel like there was another story today about that guy. Honestly, though. And Janet Mills' comment of, well, I'm not off the ballot yet, so you can still vote for me. Like, I'm sorry. Why don't Democrats have a little bit of a spine here and be like, hey, I'm the sitting governor of the state. I'm not dropping out. And you want to know why? Because we shouldn't have a dude with a Nazi tattoo and a porta potty fetish as the one who leads the state. We need somebody a little bit better than that. Right. But she's like the most passive aggressive thing I've ever seen where she's like, listen, I'm still on the ballot. Like, you still have my number in your phone if you wanted to call me back. Like, I'm still around if you want me. Like, knock it off. Like, get a backbone, get a spine
yeah,
here. And say,
I gotta say, for being in the party that's supposed to be the like we're the pro women, you know, feminist, mm-hmm. strong women, don't take a back seat, you know, let's get our seat at the table. If I were Governor Mills, I'd be scorched earth right now. If anything, Democrats should take a page from what happened in California. Like, you can pivot. Like, when someone has baggage you didn't know about and it comes out and it's not good, you'd be like, okay, we're done with you. We're getting behind the other
guy.
Right,
there are other candidates and other options, right? Instead of just doubling down on the dude with the Nazi tattoo.
It's like I was just on SiriusXM and I literally said, like, I don't know why Democrats continually put themselves in boxes that they don't need to be put in and then act like, oh, I can't maneuver. I don't have a choice. Like, you actually do. And
it's very reflective of what you've seen in corporate America, too, though, right? Where they get involved in these political conversations or wokeness or, you know, Gay Pride Month, LGBTQ, DEI, whatever it is. And they box themselves in when all you had to do was not do that. You didn't have to. And you see it in corporate offices a lot across the country where they've had to backtrack now from having to step into stuff so much this way. But Democrats haven't seemed to learn that lesson politically yet.
Yeah, it's like corporate-wise, I don't know why most people don't just say, you know what, Diet Coke, it's for everybody. Like, I mean, how hard is that to do?
Republicans buy sneakers too, right? The old Michael Jordanism.
Michael Jordan, yeah. You know, and so, like, again, as from a corporate standpoint, like, I don't care. I actually don't care what your politics might be one way or the other. Make a good fucking product. Like, that's actually what I expect from you. Period.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when it comes to Democrats, again, it's like, why do you create false choices for yourselves and box yourselves in? Like, it's unnecessary. You can pivot. You can make a change. And, you know, again, I said this the other day. I do not believe for a second that someone who a year into his marriage was sexting other people, that there isn't other there. There's there,
yeah,
there will
100%.
Be, they will come out. You know, I read yesterday that, you know, he had come to DC and talked with a bunch of folks in the Democrat and our DSCC hierarchy. And, you know, said there's nothing else. The worst of what you heard isn't true. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, man, if we had a nickel for every time a candidate swore up and down there's not a there, like we'd be very rich right now, Aaron.
I'd be making it rain nickels.
You wouldn't be.
And let me tell you, I don't think strip clubs like it when you rain nickels on them. Like,
a lot of experience you have on that front, probably.
I just, in my head, I'm like making it rain, but it's nickels. I'm just launching nickels everywhere.
Coins at, like, ow, that hurts. What are you doing?
Sorry, ma'am. You're never allowed in this club again because you keep throwing nickels at the dancers.
Is this a Rochester thing? Where did you learn throwing nickels?
Sorry.
Okay, this has gone off the rails completely. Aaron's choking right now on her own. The visual of you throwing nickels at a stripper, actually. I'm so sorry, party animals, that you have to be subjected to this level of nonsense. We're usually better than that. Except
we're not, though.
We're not,
That's
though.
The
we're
thing. Not. So, man. That got me good. All right. Well, anything, folks, you've just spent a good minute and a half of your life listening to me laugh at my own jokes.
Well, if you can't make yourself laugh, can't make anyone else laugh either, Erin.
I think if I can't make myself laugh, there's really no hope. Because, like, yeah. you gotta be able to make yourself laugh.
You do. Well, speaking of laughter, let us turn our eye to California, from Maine to California.
Yeah, coast to coast, Casey
Coast
Kasem.
To coast. Yes, here we are, America's top 40. We had the primary, as is standard operating procedure. California, the largest state in the union, is still counting votes. The most populous state of the union, still counting
votes.
Really, it takes a minute.
It's ridiculous how long it takes to count votes in California. And you and I both know that.
It's a lot of ground to cover.
Oh my gosh. It is 2026. For the love of panda bears, there's no excuse why you can't wrap up a vote that day. And like, listen, Florida's a big state too. It's a populous state as well. They managed to wrap up vote counting in about 2 hours. And I know a lot of this has to do with the mail-in ballots and when they're dated and when they're postmarked and when they can arrive. I mean, I get it if you're out of town, but if you're in California and you just opt in to, like, not going to your polling location and you mail in your vote, if it takes a week for the mail to get there, we've got a problem anyways. Like, we've got larger institutional issues here. But the fact
major USPS issues in this country.
That's
very true. They've been operating at a multi-billion-dollar deficit for like a decade and a half.
We are looking at Thursday. We are now more than 48 hours removed from election day here. And people are saying we're still not going to see final results because they don't know how many ballots remain outstanding. That is where people start to get worried about election integrity and security. I'm not saying this race was stolen, but that's the kind of stuff that opens the door to all the questions of, like, why does it take so long to count the ballots? How do you not have a grasp on how many ballots?
Because this is how it's always worked in California. I've worked in California politics most of my career. We're used to it out there. I know you guys in the elite media world that usually don't give a rip what goes on in California, but, like, this is how it works. It's election day, not election result day. It's the day you know, voting concludes. It's the day. It's a cutoff date for when you can cast your ballot. It doesn't mean you get a result.
Sir. I adore you very much, but you saying it's election day, not election. It's election finish day. Sir, if it was election day, it would be a day. But most states in the union don't even just have a election day. They have multiple election day. They have early vote. If you're in Virginia, they have a very long early vote. But I love hearing a Democrat say that that's why it's called election day. If that's why it was called election day, we wouldn't be doing all this other stuff. And you sound like Donald Trump now more than I do. Look at you. Oh, my God. He did it. He did it. Oh. Everybody look. Kurt sounds like Donald Trump.
That might be the nicest thing you've ever said to me. You just compared me to the most powerful person in the world. Someone that I know you vocally oftentimes support and defend. So I take that as a compliment, Erin. Thank you very much. And in that
gaslighting on that one.
And in that spirit, I'll just say that obviously everything you're saying, generally speaking, is wrong. And you know, and you're being very mean right now and very nasty.
At least you don't have to tell me to smile. I already am.
Yes, because you're thinking of your own jokes. But
I have been crushing at this show, by the way.
Oh, my God. Please. Yes. Yes. Someone stop her. Listen, right now, as things stand, it looks like it's going to be, as expected, Becerra and Hilton, and then Karen Bass and maybe Spencer Pratt. We'll see.
I think, like, Hilton did better than I expected. Hilton did tremendously better than I expected, especially when you saw the last little bit of public polling that came out at the end there on Steyer. And I think when you look at that polling, though, what you actually saw was the volume and the weight of the ads he was putting on relative to the people being asked and how much they saw his name versus whether or not they were actually going to vote for him. Because he did make that very heavy ad aggressive push at the end there. So I think that's a little more of what we were looking at in the polling, because it was showing him on the move and getting above Steve in some of the polls. So I was a little interested to see how much further
there
that
was
ended
chatter
up being.
Leading up to election day that, like, it could potentially be, you know, Becerra versus Steyer, and that the Republicans might get squeezed out. Clearly, that didn't happen. And at the end of it all, you know, Hilton's going to be the top vote getter, you know, as Democrats split the vote there. But what I did like actually was on election day, or the day before, Antonio Villaraigosa and Matt Mahan, like, dropped out of the race. Could you wait any longer to get out of this thing? Like, it's that stuff drives me nuts.
I mean, it's the best of politics always. But I mean, and then you look at the mayoral race and we're still, that one's less certain of how that shakes out just because of, again, where outstanding ballots remain and votes. I still think it's going to be Spencer Pratt. You
yeah,
do
I think
get
so
to
too.
Keep your hair, right? He didn't get that 51%.
Was ready. Had my clippers ready to go just in case. I was watching with bated breath.
Mm-hmm. But it was interesting. I do think it'll be him still.
Yeah, I do too. But you know, it's interesting. Our dear friend who joined us on our Texas primary election night, James Carville, said the other day on his podcast here on Politicon that he thinks that Spencer is going to run for president in 2028. What do you think of that?
Do you think that's viable? You know, I wouldn't be shocked if the name doesn't get floated anyways. It already is, right? Isn't that exactly mm-hmm. what James Carville is doing when he does that, is to start floating Spencer's name and seeing? So I wouldn't be surprised if other people don't do that. Listen, worse celebrities have run for president of the United States in recent cycles. Kanye West ran. Right? Like, we've seen worse people try to run for public office, and at least he's got a reason why. Right?
Like,
he's got a reason, you know? Yeah.
So he wants the White House. That makes sense. He'll stay homeless until 2028 and then occupy the White
House. Poop all over the sidewalks. Yeah. I mean, he's got a point he's making. So I don't know. It depends on how this campaign finishes up for him. If he decides he wants to do anything else, because campaigns are tough and he's in the hardest part of it right now. So is he going to make the run all the way through and be fine and say, man, may I have another, right? Mm-hmm. Like, or, and to try to do that on a national scale, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's harder. So, I don't know. I never say, my line will always remain the same in politics. Never say never.
Okay. Will Erin McGuire ever run for office? Will her name ever be on the ballot?
No, never. That's a never.
Ah, found the loophole. See?
Kurt, what do you think about this? What do you think about Pratt? What do you think about the race? And what do you think about his future in politics?
I think Pratt will. I think you're right. He'll probably get into the top two here and end up taking on Bass. I think that he'll get that TMZ boost of exposure, but I still don't think he has a prayer of winning. I mean, even in this primary, that the D to R vote is 2-3-1. And I think Pratt actually has nowhere to go but down now. I think this is actually peak Pratt, this primary moment. And once we get into that general election cycle and it becomes a little bit more real, people, especially in LA, mind you, this is very blue LA. I just don't see where his constituency is to grow. I don't
see. That's the thing, though. It's all the voters, right? There aren't Republicans in LA. So all he's got is anywhere but up to go. He's not bringing in those Nithia voters, but also neither is Karen. Right.
Yeah.
So my question is going to be, are you going to be looking at a soft vote turnout?
I go
going
back
into
to
the general.
The thing that hurts him the most that will happen and why I think this actually works against him is the amount of exposure he'll get in MAGA media. Like, that is just an automatic repellent turnoff for a lot of Democrat voters in L.A. And I think that's enough to get them to go. Nope. If he didn't do that, if he stayed off of all of that, he'd have a better shot at playing that independent role more than a MAGA partisan. But he will be cast that way through all the support that he will get in MAGA land, because they can't help themselves. If MAGA land was smart, frankly, they wouldn't talk about him. They would just let him do his thing and leave him alone and not
you know what, though? I disagree with that just based on what you're seeing from the primary here, right? Because not only in terms of what media he's doing or what attention he's getting, right? Because if you look at the media he's doing, he did Fox. He did a trip up to New York. But he also did CNN, right? He's still going on to other networks and other shows. So if a voter is saying, you're on Fox News, I'm not going to vote for you, they weren't going to vote for him anyways. Even if he had never gone on Fox News, that's not a persuadable voter by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think that if people went into the primary in LA and said, maybe I'll vote for Spencer, and then said, oh my God, he went on Fox News, how can I? Listen, that you are the most lost little voter I've ever seen. So, like, we got to...
He's going to get branded as the MAGA mayor. And
they're going to try that for sure. They're going to try that.
I think that's a potent attack only in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I don't know. LA's crazy town, right? Like, and I mean that pretty sincerely when you look at what the government's failed to do there, what the government's failed to provide there, what they continue to pursue as the goals and the policies. Right now, Karen Bass is saying that they need to give the homeless teeth, dentures, so that they can all go get jobs instead of, I don't know, didn't you say you were going to eradicate homelessness in LA by the end of your first term and you've managed not to do that, but you want to give them all dentures that they lost and not the treatment that they might need to get help so that they don't relapse and can keep teeth in their mouth? Like, I say this, it reminds me of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because there was literally an entire conversation about a group, a fundraising group called The Homeless, Not the Toothless. And now that's what Karen Bass's priority is. So, like, I don't think that the persuadable LA voter is going to think, man, Spencer Pratt's on Fox News, I'm not interested in that. I bet you they'd a more moving message to them would be, what do you mean we're wasting taxpayer money on dentures for the homeless? Why don't we get them help?
Yeah, I hear that. I just don't think I don't think this race is going to be defined by something like that. I think that this race ultimately, I don't think people are going to be paying too much attention to.
Culture issues are big ones for people, and they still move voters. They still move passion in voters. And I know when we were in Texas, we talked to the Texas state chair, and he, you know, called it a construct about boys and girls bathroom and girls sports. But Ted Cruz ran a very aggressive and very potent and very successful campaign against Colin Allred based on those cultural issues. Yes, Texas is different, but to wipe away cultural issues like that kind of one about homelessness and how you handle homelessness, I think it's still a potent message in LA. It's going to be a matter of, this is what I'll be interested to see in the next 30 days. If Spencer Pratt wins, which we anticipate he will, he'll go into the runoff. How does he change his campaign messaging?
Yes, that's fair. How does he pivot to a general, not in this primary kind of brawl for all that we have in California? Where's his homeless plan? Like, I mean, like, if you want to make that the issue or one of the issues, and make that a wedge issue with voters, like, okay, then you can't beat something with nothing.
Yep. So I'm going to be really interested to see how, like, he...
How serious is he?
Yeah. Yeah, because...
I'll be curious,
This is the hardest part. Now it's coalition building, right?
And is he going to Here's a tactical question for you. Does Karen Bass debate Spencer Pratt?
No. And I can tell you why for a couple of reasons. One, the first debate, people saw her on the debate stage. So if I'm Karen Bass's team, I'm going to say people already saw a debate between the two of them. There's no need for it. Two, when you're the front runner, and it's fair to say Karen Bass is.
Yeah, sure.
You don't need to do a debate unless you're a great debater. And it's clear Karen Bass is not a great debater. Strong campaigns and candidates regularly say no and stonewall on debates with the other candidates because you're giving them oxygen. So my money's on no for Karen Bass debating. What say you?
I agree with you. I think that there's nothing to gain. There's a shit ton of risk, no reward at all. And I think that Spencer, who understands how to play the role of antagonist, how to elicit a moment from you, I think that he would be very effective in that way. It's like, there's nothing to gain. Don't do it.
That's the trick of debates, right? That it's like the idea of most debates is do no harm.
Well, yeah, it's like in the last 25 years, no one has won an election because they debated well, but a lot of people have lost elections because they had a bad moment.
Terry McAuliffe, looking at you.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, looking at you, right?
Ended his presidency.
Literally ended a presidency. Oh my gosh. Well, friend, anything else for the good of the order?
Right now, no. I'm gonna coast into the weekend. You know, taking a family trip to San Juan, and then
Look forward to the video with that Puerto Rico song. It has to happen.
A little piña colada video. The birthplace of the piña colada is San Juan, also home to the only tropical rainforest in North America.
Wow, the more you know. Well, that'll be a fun trip.
Yeah,
well, while you enjoy the beaches of Puerto Rico, I'll enjoy the beaches of Lake Ontario.
Hey, nothing wrong. Go get some great Abbott's
Abbott's
custard there.
A little frozen custard. Maybe go to Seabreeze, depending on the weather. Live
I love Seabreeze. I love Seabreeze. I grew up going there. Come on, the Jackrabbit.
Yes, I know. Connor's never been, so we'll see if the weather holds up.
Yeah. Oh, he's got to do. Tell him get the. They have these fried powdered sugar waffles. They're freaking fantastic.
All right, I'll tell him.
All right.
Bye. Party on, party animals.